When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I walk a straight line, shackle and chain. Oh, gruesome Gertie is calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hill String Gang, Rango the Three.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to Bloody
Angola,
a podcast 142 years in the making.
Complete story of America's bloodiest prison.
And I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
And we're about to get into some Chase Team knowledge.
Chase Team knowledge from the college, baby.
Absolutely.
The y'all, the Chase Team, most people don't think about it, Jim. Chase teams are a very real part. They're a very necessary part of every correctional system, every prison for sure. Absolutely. And because what happens? You lock these people up, especially in Bloody Angola, and 80% of them are going to die there. A certain percent of them won't let the time do them. They'll do their time, but there's a certain percent that, hey, I want fucking out of here.
Yeah, right? And not only that, they got 24 hours a day to figure out how to do it.
And then watch to see who's weak.
Yeah.
What I mean, they got years and years and years to figure it out.
Right? Yeah. And they do. I know you've talked in the past about how inmates and convicts will just watch you walk up and down a tier, see what your habits are.
Absolutely. They'll figure out how many steps you take. They'll figure out, whatever. They might get somebody to talk to you, to distract you. I mean, they just do it. They got nothing else to do.
Yeah.
Right. And they're ultimately their goal is to escape. And if they figure out you're not weak, then they're going to figure out somebody else that is.
That's right. And they even go as far, y'all, as to learn your routine. When you come to work, when you don't, are you off every Thursday?
Right.
Does it switch every other week you work this amount of hours? Because there's certain ones that they will think are weak, and those are the ones they want to run.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And they'll do it a little bit of time. It's like a child predator grooming their victims, right? And certainly there are masterminds. Prisons aren't, I say prisons are full of dummies. It's hard to catch a smart criminal, but we have caught smart criminals.
Yeah.
There's got people in there that are geniuses, right? Yeah. I mean, there's doctors, there's lawyers, whatever, or there's people that are not formally educated who are smarter as fucking Einstein.
Yeah.
And it's you have both ends of the spectrum and everything in between. But ultimately, a certain percent of them want out.
Yeah.
And they're not going out toes first in a body bag.
Period. And, you know, one thing that probably we need to explain is the difference between like a chase team and a tack team. Mm-hmm. Cause they are different.
Even though most of them are cross trained, you're absolutely, they're different.
Well, a tactical team, you know, first of all, if you have, let's say you've got to do a cell shakedown, or you've got a guy in his cell and he won't get right. He refused to come out of his cell.
Cell extraction team.
Yeah. Yeah. So they'll go in there and they'll put on all this riot gear. Mm-hmm. And just like you see on TV, you know, they got the riot gear and they got the stun guns,
the shield is electric now. And so you go in. Let me tell you this training story. It's funny. Yeah. When we first got the shield, I was at DC Island on the working cell block, and we had to train with it, right? So they, you know, they put one of the COs in, and they're acting like the inmate, and then you come on in here, get me. We're practicing cell extractions is what it was. But the shield hits you with the most voltage that you can be hit with without causing you to have a heart attack. I'm talking about you hit the buttons behind it, goes blam, blam, and we just got it. It was like, I don't know how many thousands of volts. So my buddy was the first one, and the inmate, I was, I'm going to light your ass up. And I got in there and got on top of him, and I was hitting him. He said, they want you, just like the Freeze Plus P, they want you to train in it and actually be hit with it so you can understand what you're doing to the person, right? To the inmate.
Very important.
I laid in on his ass. He's like, and he's like, I give up. I was like, fuck you. And then it came out, Captain Newman said, all right, Woody, it's your turn to be the inmate. And he gave him the shield. He lit my ass up.
Like, hell yeah, he did. Look, and y'all, just to kind of explain the similarity of that, my daughters are now going to college, and so I bought them both stun guns. Mm-hmm. And these are basically, it looks like basically a walkie-talkie with two electrodes.
Right.
But you push that sucker, and this big blue piece of lightning comes across, and it goes tick, 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 tick. Right. It's real loud. Imagine that, but a giant shield.
Yeah, with those iodes all up and down, and like it's in stripes. I mean, you lit their whole body up.
Yeah.
The one misnomer on that, and we'll get back on the topic, but the one misnomer on that, when and you see in the movies, like the one you're talking about your daughters have, when they go up behind somebody and they shock them and knocks them out, that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
The shock only lasts as long as you have contact with them. So that's a farce. It's not like you're knocking motherfuckers out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's enough to get somebody off of you and run.
Yeah. It's enough to fucking incapacitate them. Yeah. I mean, if they have a knife, they can't hold on to it or whatever.
That's right. So,
but the deal being like, that's the CERT teams or basically the prison SWAT teams. Mm-hmm. That's a deterrent, right? And they do use them. They get used way more than the chase teams do, but the chase team also serves as a huge deterrent. You know why? Because they know the chase team at Angola is the baddest motherfucking chase team in the world.
That's right.
And they know if you run on this 18,000 acres, look, they have it planned out. They can tell. I mean, they practice it every single day. If they're not chasing someone, they are training. And they let the trustees run. And they'll give them an hour head start sometimes 4 hours head start, and they train it from different things. And these trustees are in shape. They run all the time, right? And that's their jobs. They run, the dogs chase them.
Yeah.
And they'll train different dogs at the time. They don't run them all at the same time. But they can figure out how far you can get on foot in X amount of time. And, you know, they figure in weather. They figure in all kinds. They have it down to a science. The chase team does.
Absolutely.
And they know how far to put out the outline perimeter and everything else. But convicts know.
Yeah.
And the chase team and the dog kennels and all, that's separate away from everybody else. But they know. They know that the chase team gets their man.
Yeah.
And you don't want them son of a bitches on your tail.
No, you don't. And you know, you can't just go into Louisiana State Penitentiary in Angola as an employee and just say, hey, I want to be on the chase team.
Oh, no.
There's a lot of qualifications.
It's a huge deal. It's like the NFL.
Yeah.
Anybody can play Pee Wee football.
Yeah.
You get on the chase team, that's probably the most. When I was in prison, when I worked in corrections, to me, the chase team was the most elite division there was.
Yeah.
Even over the CERT team, because they did a totally different job, totally different thing. And hey, it's a bad, if the chase team has to get called, prison's having a bad fucking day.
Yeah,
somebody's on the run.
And let me ask you this, Woody. So when you were with the Livingston Parish Sheriff's Department, you were on the SWAT team.
Absolutely.
And SRT. Yeah. What a lot of people don't realize, SRT, Special Response Team, that's which is the same team.
Politically correct way of saying SWAT. That's the only reason they changed that shit.
So I would imagine, you know, if I was a police officer and I joined the Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office, everybody wants to get on the SRT team. Reputation alone,
Very elite position.
How did that process of choosing go?
So you had to have more than 2 years, at least in uniform patrol. You have to be in superior physical shape, and you have to be able to shoot better than a motherfucker, right? Mm-hmm. And then that's no guarantee you got to get on. You have to go before it, you have to go do the PT test. You have to shoot. Do the qualifications with your firearms, and then you have to go before a board of the baddest son of bitches on the SWAT team. To me, the board members were the original founding guys.
Yeah.
And it's all business, and they hit you with a bunch of questions and whatever questions they want to hit you with, and you leave. They had tryouts a couple times a year, right? And you leave, you don't know if you made it or not. Yeah. Now, most people didn't make it.
Right.
So they not only had to like you as a professional, you had to have the skills to pay the bills on that elite of a level, right?
Yeah.
But they had to like you. You know why? They're putting their hands. If they bring you on, then you had to do a probation period and all that. But if they bring you on, they're putting their lives in your hands and vice versa. When you get called out, somebody's – SWAT or SRT, that's who the police call when they get scared.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a great way to put it.
Chase team, that's who the prison calls when sugar's turned to shit.
Yeah.
And the Department of Corrections job is not to punish the inmates for what they did on the outside. It's simply to house them and keep them alive and keep the public safe from them.
Yeah.
When the one's on the run, public is not safe.
So you may wonder, Burl Cain, we just did a 3-part series on him that was just amazing.
Yeah, he's awesome.
And of course, he was a huge supporter of the chase team at Angola. Mm-hmm. And you may wonder what he said in his words about that team. So I'm gonna read something to you real quick. This is out of Warden Cain's book, Cain's Redemption. Mm-hmm. If you have not checked it out and you're a fan of
great book
of this podcast, you're going to want to. You'd love it. But Warden Cain said he was proud of his chase team, which is a group of tactical officers whose responsibility is to track down escapees. Not many inmates escape. But then again, from the warden's perspective, one escape attempt is too many. He knows that people live nearby, 20 or so miles outside the main gate, and he knows they're relying on him to protect them. Anytime an inmate escapes, even for a few hours amid the glare of publicity, nearby residents may barricade themselves in their houses, fearing the fleeing inmate may try to break in, steal a car, or worst of all, take them hostage, and that's happened. Angola operates in high gear whenever someone flees. The staff keeps prisoners in lockdown within their living units. Most working the fields and elsewhere in the prison. All that comes to a halt. The camps are searched, the barns, maintenance buildings, and other facilities. The chase team is familiar with the potential hiding places on the grounds where inmates might sequester themselves. So I'll stop right there. That's one of the things Woody was just talking about with the training. They're looking around. They're seeing, where would I hide if I escaped?
Absolutely.
And that is the first place they look.
And there's so many buildings, y'all. I wish I could paint the picture for you. Like the barns, and we've talked about the horses and them raising cows and everything else. But also the manufacturing plants and just storage, warehouses and everything else. So, yeah, and that brings a genius point to it. When it's somebody they train every day, they're thinking – outside the box.
Yeah.
Trying to think how a convict would think.
Exactly. And it goes on to say the prison chase team practices preventive drills. The correctional officers who comprise the team go after a prison employee or two whose goal it is to elude capture for a couple of hours. Warden Kane's own son, Marshall, used to participate with a friend. They run like the inmates run, Kane said, getting lost and running real crazy. So it was like chasing real inmates. Assistant Warden Kathy Fontenot, once a college runner, had served as bait for practice chases in the past. So they would actually send out other employees and say, go run as well.
Right.
And they would chase them. Until she became pregnant with a third child, she enjoyed playing hide and seek with the chase teams. Sometimes we would burrow into the hillside or under some woody brush. We could hear the officers in the distance as they were searching for us. Once, a couple of them were so close we could reach out and touch them.
Wow.
A real chase is no such amusement. The objective is clear, to find the escaping inmate and return him safely to Angola. The advantage is with the officers on the chase team. They are armed and equipped with vehicles, including Army surplus amphibious duck boats.
Yeah, that's the ones that, the track vehicles that can go in the water like a boat. Yeah.
Yep, and they can even solicit the use of a sheriff's helicopter to aid in searching along the edge of Mississippi River.
Because of West Feliciana, believe it or not, as small as it is, because of the nuclear plant, after they gave them all X amount of years without paying taxes,
yep,
West Feliciana Sheriff's Office is like the richest sheriff's office in the state.
Really?
Because they get millions of dollars a year from the nuclear plant in taxes.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Helicopters. They have horse teams. They've got motorcycles. And shit, there's like 800 people that live there, right?
I didn't know that. That's interesting. Yeah. So the officers, you may wonder about the dogs. The officers utilize dogs in the chase. The prison has obviously a large population of bloodhounds, German shepherds, mixed breeds, and even a few part wolves, with the latter mostly for show. Some of the dogs are employed to sniff for illicit drugs at the prison camps. The dogs' handlers train the bloodhounds, big floppy ears, gentle dispositions. Y'all know what we're talking about here. Those kind. The old reds. They're difficult to distract when they are on the chase and usually ignore the alligators, poisonous snakes, and bears lurking in the woods on one side of Angola. Angola's chase dogs are extraordinarily well trained. The handlers even prepare the dogs for use against escapes with other states. So that brings up my next point, which is they don't just use the chase team in Angola. It's not like if nobody's running from Angola, they ain't got nothing to do, right?
Right. They, anytime, and I've used them numerous times, anytime we would have an escape or even a big manhunt, it might be a murder scene where we know that the suspect's running in the woods, got in a vehicle pursuit or whatever, and they crashed and run into the woods. If we didn't have a tracking canine available and we had enough time to set up a perimeter, it had to be a serious case, but we would call for the Department of Corrections and say, can you send your dogs? Can you send your chase team? You know why? They're the best in the world.
Well, and we just talked about on Real Life Real Crime Daily, if you ain't checked that out, go check it out. Just search Real Life Real Crime under Apple Podcast, wherever you listen.
Yesterday's episode
that we just dropped, we talked about two females that had stole 65 guns. Loaded them in a car. They took off in West Baton Rouge, crashed the car, and then took off running in the woods. Guess who they called?
Bloody Angola Chase
Team. That's right.
And they got that ass.
They got that ass, and it didn't take long. And look, me and Woody were talking about this a little off camera, but we'll have this conversation on too. So I have a friend who breeds dogs specifically to hunt duck. And that's a big thing down here in South Louisiana is duck hunting. Some of the best you'll ever find. Right. Well, he trains these dogs, and they're black labs. And it's funny because he would pull his boat out, and those black labs would go absolutely crazy. They want in that boat. They know it's time to have fun. These dogs love this stuff.
They live for it. That is like better than sex for them.
Right? Absolutely.
It's the only thing that they train for and they live for.
Yeah, so when them handlers go in there and it's an escape or someone's running somewhere and they pull out that leash or whatever it is, they put those dogs on initially, they're going nuts. They love it. They know it's time to play.
It's time to run.
Yeah, because that's their life, man. That's what they love to do. So, it's important to remember that those dogs have a specific purpose. And I've seen people in the past, they thought, oh, well, you know, you're using these dogs and putting them in harm's way. No, they love it.
That's right.
That's that, what that they're bred for.
And they love it. And they absolutely just breathe for it. You know?
Yeah.
And they, you know what, though? Those dogs have a great, great life, too. I mean, not only do they get to do what they are bred to do and love, but they get the love like you better never believe that they get love, like from the, you know, from the tag team members and the veterinarians or whatever. They're treated like royalty.
Yeah. And so we've got some pretty good articles that we're going to go over with you today of the Chase team in action.
Right.
And doing what they do. Woody's going to read the first one. I believe this was a escape. I'm not sure, quite sure when it happened,
right.
But the chase team definitely involved.
So it says, two Angola cellmates have been captured after attempting a daring plan to escape from jail. While in the prison yard this morning, the two inmates broke through the bottom of one gate and climbed over another before taking off into a wooded area. The Angola chase team, which included a K-9 unit and a boat crew, surrounded the duo within a few hours. The two never actually left the Angola State Prison grounds. The chase team got extra help from nature. The cows, this is funny, the cows helped us a lot because the cows would see them and run out of the woods. Then the flocks of ducks flew by, so they scared them up. And we were watching all of that from the levee with thermal energy. It was a pretty classic chase, said Warden Burlcane. Both prisoners gave up without a fight, adhering to the orders of the prison officials. We never have lost one we didn't catch, so it's pretty hard to get away from us. We practice all the time, and they look sad, and we're pretty happy. So it was a good Sunday morning, and it was actually pretty interesting, said Kane. The escapees were identified as Melvin Johnson, a convicted rapist, and Aaron Watson, a convicted killer. Both were serving life sentences without parole, and now they get an escape charge is pending, which I think a simple escape like that is an automatic extra 10 years on your sentence. But if you're going to die there anyway, what does it matter?
Yeah, I mean, if you got life, you got life, right?
That shows you, y'all, it's not just about dogs. But most people think chase teams, it's all about the canines. It's about the science.
Yeah. Right? The birds flying.
That's right.
One of my favorite things about that article.
The ducks are going to get up and fly. Oh, that means something spooked them. Mm. And you're watching thermal energy, so it's nighttime. Ducks gonna get up, fly at nighttime. You know somebody's in there. Cows coming out, running out of the woods.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So they have. Cows. They probably have so many tricks. I'm not asking, and that because we don't want the convicts to know anyway.
Right.
But they got tricks upon tricks in their bag.
Oh, I guarantee you. And I find that just absolutely interesting. And I'm gonna give y'all real quick just a detailed explanation of the chase team that I was able to find after I researched. And it says the Louisiana State Penitentiary chase team provides invaluable service to the state of Louisiana by responding to emergency calls as quickly as possible. It's made up of trained personnel, search teams, and most importantly, the highly trained chase team. The chase team is responsible for tracking down and apprehending prison escapees. The chase team's primary duty is to systematically hunt the fugitives and capture or return them to prison. In order to fulfill their role, the chase team members have to be highly trained, efficient, and effective. Keyword there, effective. Training for the team includes basic law enforcement officer skills, such as self-defense, communications, search and rescue, weapons and vehicle operation, and crisis management. So it goes far beyond just being able to run fast, right?
Or follow a dog.
Yeah, or follow a dog. That's right. Or shoot good. I mean, you got to do all those things basically at expert level.
You got to be the best of the best.
In order to join the chase team, all applicants must first complete training requirements, including pass the physical and psychological exams. Another important thing, can't be a nut job.
Right.
Yep. The team is specifically chosen from a pool of experienced prison officers and learners. All potential chase team members must complete a comprehensive background investigation before being selected. And after selection, they go through the rigorous physical and mental training to assure they have the strength and skills necessary.
It's basically like basic training.
Yep.
While on steroids.
Yeah. While on steroids. Right.
A SWAT team is the same way. SRT. That was a badass motherfucking school. And yeah. you quit anytime you want to, or they could swing you and make you quit. Same thing on the chase team, right?
That's right. And once a member of that team is selected, they must live up to the lieutenant's standards. The rules of engagement and rules of use for weapons are strictly followed. So they have a standard that they have to kind of live by. Mm-hmm. They're kind of like the in other words, that's an easy way of saying they break one rule, they're off the team.
Right, right. And they hold them to a higher standard, a higher moral standard. It's not about chasing somebody down and beating their ass or whatever. You have to conduct yourself as the ultimate professional.
Absolutely.
Right? And the definition of professional is someone who does their best even when they don't feel like it. You just got to be the creme de la creme to get on there.
There you go. And here's something that I know Woody, when he joined that SRT team, and if I would get on a chase team, this would be my favorite part. The team is provided with the best available gear, such as night vision goggles, high-tech communication systems, specialized vehicles and weapons, and advanced tracking technology. So we call these toys.
Right,
toys!
Difference between men and boys and the price of toys, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's your reward for being that elite. That's
your reward, but you also, you got to be, everything you're given like that, you better believe you're going to be trained to you're one of the best in the world at using it.
Yes.
It's not like they just give it to you to go deer hunting.
Yeah.
It's serious business. You need this. Because back in my day, we didn't have IR, right? They stuck you out on the perimeter in a shotgun, and you didn't turn on your light. You're in the middle of the woods. You didn't turn on your light because you got killers coming at you.
Yes.
But, So highly trained.
Highly trained, and they are responsible for responding to any and all calls for assistance and apprehending the prisoners that escape. In many cases, the team also serves as backup for other law enforcement agencies during pursuits, just like we told you about. Right. Woody just read you an article on that. The team has successfully completed hundreds of successful pursuits and captured numerous escapees since its was created. So they've been around a while. And of course, like anything, you sharpen it over time.
Right.
So when they started, maybe they didn't have night vision.
Right. No. They grew as the times go, and then they got smarter, et cetera. Here's the deal. Convicts have been running forever, and they're always going to run.
Yeah.
Right. So the chase team has got to improve and got to use the latest and the greatest.
Absolutely. And the chase team also plays an important role in maintaining the safety and security of Louisiana. They provide invaluable service to the state, and their presence is a symbol of readiness and security in the face of serious threat. Mm-hmm. Their dedication and commitment to their duties have enabled them to provide a strong, consistent service to the citizens of Louisiana. And I'm gonna tell y'all a quick little story about that. So there was a prison riot, and it was at a different prison. It was not in Angola.
St. Martinville.
Yeah. Thank you, Woody. In St. Martinville, they had an uprising. And I mean, like,
it was a bunch of Cubans.
Yeah, they wanted to go home.
Real quick, while it was Cubans, and even though it was a parish deal, the federal government was paying St. Martin Parish to house these Cuban federal inmates. They pay them a lot of money compared to what the state pays them.
So these Cubans over time got together, and they just raised holy hell, to say the least. And there was a major uprising that lasted days and days and days.
They had hostages.
It was a big deal. Well, what do you think Burl Cain did? Burl Cain, of course, being the warden of Angola and one of the highest ranking prison officials in the state, he was probably one of the first to get a call. And he said, well, I'm going to come out there with my chase team.
It's also good training for them.
Great training. Right? Yes. So they went out there. Now, they were never activated actually into the prison. The uprising was able to be put down before the chase team went in. But, in Warden Cain's case, he wanted them there as much to intimidate
right.
those Cuban detainees as anything else.
Right.
Just the fact that they're on the premises,
right, and you know,
makes you think.
You know the Angola chase team is here, and then, you know, you're a whole lot less likely to run.
Absolutely.
And that's what happened.
Yeah.
So, that's not even practice. That's game time. Because when you're there, you're effectively stopping them from running.
And look, we did a live event, of course, with Bloody Angola, and we featured just the tragic murder of Captain David Knapps.
Right.
And that was a result of that uprising. That's in right. Another prison that kind of kicked off that whole incident. And one day we're going to tell that on this show and give it to everybody, because I think that's a story everybody needs to hear. If you went to the live, you know right. What we're talking about. Right. But that was a situation where that uprising was used by inmates at a completely different prison to think, hey, we can do that too. Right. And it went horribly wrong.
And that's because Burl Kane and the Angola Chase team wasn't running it in St. Martinville. And those Cubans, they made the demands and shit they gave it to them, like phone calls to federal officials and all this shit. So the unfortunately, the inmates at Angola and Captain Knapp's situation, they got together and they figured we can do the same thing.
That's right. So I'm going to let Woody read you another article here. And this is another escape that was thwarted, to right. lack of so a better
this is back
term.
In 2017, y'all. Authorities captured an inmate on a roof of a prison building after he attempted to escape Thursday from the Louisiana State Penitentiary at Angola. Assistant Warden of Program and Gary Young said the inmate, Emmanuel Scott, was found on a roof in the prison's Camp D area. Officials were prepared for a full-fledged chase and escape situation, Young said. All of our security protocols worked, Young said. He never was outside of his secured area. Young said the prison's 7 p.m. count of inmates did not clear, so officials spent about an hour working on the count before activating the full chase team. Scott was located about 9:30 p.m., Young said. Scott was incarcerated at Angola in 2009 after a 2008 conviction on second-degree murder in Caddo Parish. Young said Scott will be rebooked on attempted escape in West Feliciana Parish.
There you go. So that was a situation where, and notice what he said in there, Camp D.
Right.
Camp
same D. place.
Yeah.
Camp Knapp.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. They mostly.
That houses the education building right. and a lot of.
Unfortunate. But the deal being back to the counts, and that's why they count them X amount of times a day. And the count doesn't clear, nobody moves. And then if they figure it, and a lot of times it doesn't clear, y'all, just because somebody miscounted. And that's, I've done it myself. But you have to go back and count it again, especially you got a rec room full of 200 and some inmates. And it's not like they have to sign in, right? But you have to make them get on the wall and count around. If you call it back in, they're like, your count's not clear. Oh, shit. Then nobody moves. And then if it doesn't clear, like after 15 minutes, then everybody goes on lockdown.
And then they activate. Right.
Then they activate the chase
team. Call the chase team, right. baby. And here they come. And
you know, a lot of, and so many times over the years, I call them was with the state police or Livingston Parish or whatever. The one unfortunate thing about the Angola chase team is they're so far away from everything, as is Angola. Man, fuck it. Before they built the new highway to Angola, it just take like an hour once you got off of 61 to get there.
Yeah.
And the curvy ass road through the Tunica Hills. Now they're much faster, and they certainly have the top of the line equipment and vehicles, and they're ready to go 24/7. And somebody's on call.
Yeah.
It's not like they just go home. We train for a couple hours a day and you go home. They have a rotating on call list. And if somebody needs you, we would call for them so many times, and by the time they got to us, we'd already catch them.
Yeah.
You know, by whatever, they gave up or whatever reason. That's one of the only unfortunate things. But it's also a fortunate thing, like in this story, when they're so far out there, that's where you want your prisoners to be.
Oh, yeah.
The worst of the worst.
Yeah, and for those of you that aren't familiar with this area, we have people that listen from all over the world, buddy.
Right.
And Let me tell you, Angola and in that area of South Louisiana, it's very rural, very hilly, and it's just miles and miles of nothingness. Yeah.
18,000 acres.
And that's larger, just on the property.
Right, right. That's larger than Manhattan.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of houses around outside.
That's right.
It's all, well, the Tunica Hills and then the Mississippi River on the other side.
Yeah, and so your chances of escaping there are nil anyway. But you're not gonna get far with a highly trained team like this typically. And I'm gonna you know, we've made mention a couple times of how they activate those all over the state. They'll activate the chase teams. Well, before we get into that though, I do have a question for Woody, and that is, in Livingston Parish, Louisiana, they had two escapees that were. Very high-profile murderers and rapists. Gerald
Bordelon and John Priest.
Yeah, and did they activate chase team on that?
Absolutely did.
Really?
And, it was a three-day pursuit, and I got the call. I was actually up working on the hunting property, and one of the dispatchers called me, and we always hung together on our days off. She was cool. She's deceased now. But she called me, and she said, I need you to report. Gerald Bordelon and John Priest escaped.
Oh my God. What was your first thought?
I said, ha ha. I hung up on her. I said, ha ha. You know what I'm doing. You're trying to mess with me. And I hung up.
Yeah.
My buddy was sitting across the table from me and his pager goes off. And I mean, he wasn't good friends with the dispatchers like I was. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't a detective, but his pager goes off and they said, 1021 radio room, which is called the radio room. And I said, what? That's strange. And he called in and they said, you need to report. It's an all call. Everybody's got to come in. Gerald Bordelon, John Priest escaped. And I'm like, that is the two worst inmates we have. Gerald Bordelon was the last one put to death in state of Louisiana for the murder of Portland Ball. And John Priest, not only did he murder his victim, he pulled all his teeth and set him on fire. I mean, he's just evil.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how in the fuck did the two most important inmates we have escape?
Yeah.
And so we come in and set up a perimeter or whatever. But ultimately, Angola and DCI, all the chase teams came in, as well as U.S. Marshals and everything. But look, they were gone. Gerald Bordelon got caught the next day behind the Texaco on 63, and shit, they didn't catch John Priest until the end of the weekend, and he was actually hanging out in the town of Livingston throwing a football with some kids in the yard, and then when the cops rode by, he went and hid in the trailer, and then somebody called it in, and then the chase team, when SWAT team went down there and blew up the thing. But we had helicopters with night vision and everything else, but the chase team from Angola was there. You know why? Because they're the professionals.
That's right.
That's
all they do. When
inmates run. And so they were very, very instrumental on figuring out, hey, they knew how far to set up the perimeter. I'm talking about roadblocks and people in the woods. And, I mean, that's where you stay. But they were like, this is a science for us. I'm telling you. They can't have gone past this unless somebody picked them up. That's why you do roadblocks and shit, right?
Yeah.
But they were correct. They hadn't got outside of the perimeter that they established.
Well, and you bring up a good point there, and that is perimeters. Because let me tell you, if you set up a perimeter and you're 500 yards short, that prisoner's gone.
Right.
Because you have focused everything in that area of that perimeter, and if he's outside of it, he's keeping running, and there's nobody there looking for him. So you have to be an expert at basically judging how far people have gone. Look, we talked about on Real Life Real Crime Daily the guy that they just caught that was on the run. We called him the Rambo, the Rambo guy. He was on the run for almost 10 days. And they had a perimeter set up, and they eventually caught him inside that perimeter.
That's right.
And they would look for things like food,
right?
Camp site empty, type areas,
camp, people's camps, buildings that weren't used. They might have some supplies for them to live in or to eat off of or whatever.
Human feces,
right? You got a shit, and good stuff. But hey, real quick, because it's on my mind. Remember we talked about Camp Greyhound?
Yeah.
That Burl came yeah. down after, yep. Katrina,
after Katrina.
And they haven't housed all the JP and New Orleans city inmates. Well, Chase team was on the outside of the building.
Yes.
And also my buddy from JP, who was a JPSO deputy at the time, he's got the camp across from my buddy in Cocodrie. We were talking about it. He said, shit, that West Bank accent. He said, shit, bro, came when we were about the boys running. He had that Chase team there. And he said, first one I brought the book in. Yeah, I can't do the accent. He said, first one I brought the book in, Sheriff. He said, the doors wasn't even locked. He said, because they had machine guns on them. machine guns to lock and, that door. And Chase team dogs. They wouldn't have nobody trying to get out. And they didn't lock the doors.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, look, it's no different than if you're in the Navy and you know, you have your Navy enlisted and then you have like your SEALs.
Right.
Those SEALs are outside of a door, guaranteed, if you're someone and you're in the brig, mm-hmm. you know, you've done something in the Navy, you go through Navy court and you get thrown in the brig, and you know Navy SEALs are outside your door, you're not going to try anything.
Right. I mean, because
you have respect for them.
Right.
Those convicts have respect for those absolutely. Chase team members.
And I'll say they know on the Chase team now, I may be wrong about it now, but it used to be when they put us out on perimeter when somebody ran. And I'm talking about when I was in work for the Department of Corrections. Hey, you didn't have to fire a warning shot.
Yeah.
So now, like, if they run from the prison, like if you're in a tower, you're supposed to fire a warning shot and then shoot to stop.
Right.
Not shoot to kill. But you in the woods in the middle of the night and somebody's actually on the run, you didn't have to fire a warning shot because – think about the convict he's trying to escape. If he can get you, overpower you, and take your weapon, then he's armed and gets to kill everybody else.
Absolutely.
Back to the training and being superior and the weapons and tactics and all that, it all folds back.
Yeah, the basic goal with that training, and you may say, wow, they train MS every day or every day, that's a lot of training. Well, what you want is muscle memory.
Muscle memory. Yep. You know, play the way you practice.
That's right. Yep. And so everything has to be, you're under so much stress during a situation like that everything has to be muscle memory. Right. If you think about it, you lose. Right. You shouldn't have to think about it. Right. So, and that's why regular officers, road guys train.
They do, but let's go back to the SRT, right? Or SWAT school, or even Chase team basic training school, whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's hard. And like you're running, they'll make you run this big mile long obstacle course, climbing walls and crawling underneath this and over and under poles and all this stuff at full speed as a team. Then you run all the way back around directly to the range. Then you got to qualify.
Yeah.
Right. So your heart rate's up and you're like, you just ran a mile plus all these obstacles and I mean, not stopping. I mean, sure. They're hollering at you the whole time. And then you're on the line and they're hollering at you and you got to shoot. Well, what it simulates is I'll tell you this dead clear in my mind after the, SWAT school, the very first call out I went on, we were serving multiple search warrants on different houses at different times. So I was in one of the vehicles. I knew my position in the stack and all that. We were going to hit the door because you plan it all out, right?
Right.
Holy shit. From the point of where we were at, the intelligence meeting, to the point where we're going to serve the warrant, wasn't even probably 2 miles. And with all my training, all my military experience, all my years on the road and everything, you know, when we loaded up in that fucking truck to go hit that door, my heart was pounding so hard. I was sweating. I'm pounding. And so it's to simulate, right? And to what you're actually going to do when you're in the moment.
Yeah.
And when there is nothing more bigger high on this earth than going in a door knowing that there's somebody that's armed behind, they're going to shoot at you or whatever. So training back to the Chase team, it's just not chasing with dogs. It's so much more.
Well, and I equate it personally like football. You know, you practice, you practice, and then you get a game. And the game is the reward. Right. So for a Chase team or for an SRT team in your case – When something goes down, that's your reward for the training.
Right.
That you don't care what you're doing. That beeper go off and it says we need to activate you. Yeah, hell yeah, it's time to have fun, right?
It's same like the dogs for the chase center. They see them pulling in and loading up certain vehicles. They know it's time to run, right? Well, the correctional officers the same way.
Yeah.
They get that alert. They're like, yeah, that's on now, baby. we've been wanting to try this new tactic. We got a chance to try it now, baby.
That's
it. They live for that shit. And then, you know what? Everybody's got their place in this world and what they should do. And hopefully you're good at what you do and you enjoy what you do. I can promise you, these guys don't get on that team without them. You heard about the rigorous process, the psych test, the physical, the for lack of a better term, the basic training that they have to go through, and then the standards they're held to. That hey, you don't get that without wanting to do it.
That's right. That's right. 100%. And I'm going to read you another one here. And this is a situation where now this team is so elite that other chase teams use this team.
Right.
And here's an example of that with DCI. And DCI has their own chase team, which is a great chase team.
They're very good. That's Dixon Correctional.
Dixon Correctional. And so I'm going to read you a quick article here. It's a multi-agency manhunt is underway for an inmate who escaped from Dixon Correctional this morning. Law enforcement are searching for 23-year-old Shawilliam Chevis. He is 5'7" and 138 pounds. I know, y'all. I saw that, too, and I'm like, that's a little dude.
He's a little bitty.
5'7", 138. He's currently serving time. And he was sentenced out of Caddo Parish for aggravated second-degree battery and possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. So he's serving about 15 years. He was previously on 2 years probation for illegal use of a weapon, so he wasn't a very nice guy. Agencies assisting in the manhunt include the DCI staff and chase team, Louisiana State Penitentiary chase team, East and West Feliciana Sheriff's Office, and the U.S. Marshals. So that was a situation where DCI, in this case, had their own chase team, yet, you know, the Louisiana State Penitentiary chase team was called as well. And that tells you, that speaks volumes about how skilled they are, respected they are, and all those things. When people can put pride aside and they can say, hey, we want to catch this guy and we don't care, you know, that we're involving other agencies to do it. Another interesting thing with the chase team that I find is, you know, it's not like they're hidden behind a big cloak and nobody is to know who they are. They come out and they take pictures, and we're going to post some of those pictures. Matter of fact, Twitter, the Louisiana Department of Corrections has a pretty active Twitter, believe it or not. And they post a lot of the training stuff that they do with the chase team. So we're going to post some pictures because I'm sure there's some of you out there want to see what these guys look like. So one tweet in particular they had today, the Louisiana State Penitentiary chase team helped capture a wanted fugitive for the West Feliciana Sheriff's Office, Lieutenant Colonel Robert Tyser, Lieutenant Colonel Kevin Tanner, Major Austin Calvert, and Captain James Mincer responded with bloodhounds and caught the man. Great job. And I hope, guys, if you're listening, I hope I didn't jack your names up too bad.
Right.
I'm sure I get them perfect. And it shows a few pictures of these bloodhounds. Y'all are gorgeous.
They are beautiful.
You can
assure they're Grand National champions.
Oh, absolutely.
From Tennessee. They're the best in the world.
Absolutely. And they can sniff out anything. So I'm going to have Woody read one more as well about some inmates caught with chase team.
All right. So y'all were going to Faraday, Louisiana. If you don't know where that is, that's on pretty much on the Mississippi River, directly across from Natchez, Mississippi. So after Faraday, after 4 hours of searching through wooded areas in Faraday Wednesday morning, it took the help of two bloodhound noses, 9 chase team members, and several Concordia Parish Sheriff's Office deputies to capture 2 inmates that escaped from the Franklin Parish Detention Center. Brothers Michael James Robert, 25, and Matthew Lawrence Robert, 22, both of Winnsboro, Louisiana, were serving time for armed robbery at the detention center in Franklin Parish before escaping at approximately 4 p.m. Tuesday, CPSO Chief Deputy David Hedrick said. Driving through Faraday in a stolen white Jeep Liberty, the inmates were pulled over by a CPSO deputy on Deacon Wells Road at approximately 3:30 a.m. The inmates fled the vehicle and ran into the surrounding wooded areas, Hedrick said. We had perimeter set up all around the area looking for the suspects, Hedrick said. Two bloodhounds and nine officers with the Louisiana State Penitentiary at Angola's chase team.
Boom!
There it is. Had been helping the Franklin Parish Sheriff's Office conduct the search since Tuesday, Hedrick said. Once those bloodhounds picked up the scent, it was game over, Hedrick said.
I love
The chase team, along with CPSO deputies, caught the inmates on Calvin Street at approximately 7:10 a.m. The inmates were both booked in the CPSO on a charge of warrant for other agency on simple escape and were transported back to the detention center. So, you know, that's actually probably no further from Faraday for Angola than it is from Angola to Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
Because that's just north of where they're at.
Yeah.
But they'd have to cross the ferry or drive the long way around on the new bridge.
And those were some trustees that were already off the premises and were able to get a vehicle, steal a vehicle or whatever. And that happened.
I'm pretty sure a white Jeep Liberty is going to be a state vehicle. I'm sure somebody lost their job behind that shit.
Might have left the keys in the ignition.
I'm sure they weren't expert at vehicles. So.
Yeah. Chase team, just, you know, we were happy today to bring you just some information. And look, if you are listening and you're a retired chase team member, or even a current, I don't know what y'all's rules are. They probably won't let y'all talk to us, but if you're a current, but if you're retired or current and you want to come on, me and Woody would love to have you on and share some stories with our audience. I promise you, you'd have a great time.
And I think if you come on, it'd be a proper thing because these dudes really deserve a shout out.
Absolutely.
Just like the SWAT or SRT guys and the CERT guys. You're the best of the best. We'd love to interview you. And regardless if you come on or not, we give you all props.
Mad respect.
Keeping Louisiana safe.
Mad respect.
Mad respect for the training and the effort and the time and the lifestyle that you live to protect other people.
That's right. And Trampas Butler. You commented yesterday. I'm calling you out again, Mr. Butler. Come up here and let's talk about your family's history and your history with the,
for real,
you know, largest maximum security prison in America. You've got a ton of it, and me and Woody both want to talk to you.
Right.
So, private messages.
And so, y'all, we talk about the size of it again all the time, but I was actually looking up some stuff on I was trying to research different documentaries the other night. I was trying to pull a Jim Chapman. I've seen if there was anything in Angola that I hadn't seen, but one of the things I was watching and I'd already seen it. But, you know, think about that. It's the largest prison in the United States of America.
Yeah.
That's big, bro.
Yeah, that's big. And one of the most notorious histories.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
With it being a former slave plantation.
The most notorious history.
Yeah. Look, a couple of announcements before we get out of here today. Number one, Woody and I both want to thank everyone for voting.
Yes, I love y'all. We love y'all.
Of course, he was up for numerous awards, Real Life, Real Crime, and Bloody Angola,
baby.
History.
And actually that the Adam Curry's People's Choice also is going to be really interesting to see next week when those finalists list come
August
out.
August 6th.
I'm thinking that, I mean, I'm praying that we'll make the finals, especially for Bloody Angola, because this show deserves recognition just like those chase team guys deserve it. I do a lot of podcasts, right? Mm-hmm. This absolutely Bloody Angola is probably my favorite because of the history and our love for history and getting to do with you and all that.
Absolutely.
So, man, if we could win that, that'd be fire, right?
Yeah, it sure would. And of course, both of us were at Unspeakable Kelly Jennings live show. It was great. Great to meet people that we hadn't met,
right,
and fans of our stuff as well as hers. And that's a great thing about What we do with True Crime is we're like a little community, yeah, and we support each other.
And then the fans are cross fans to the shows. I can't think of one fan that we have, whether it's Real Life Real Crime Daily or Real Life Real Crime or Unspeakable or Bloody Angola, that's not a cross fan.
Right.
So we love all of y'all. Yeah. And our Patreon members of Bloody Angola, listen, absolute love. And y'all, thank you so much. Thank you, each and every one of you. The whatever level you subscribe to, you absolutely help make this show run.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's not free.
You got that right. It is not. And we try to give you, you know, as many extras as we can. I just uploaded two transcripts, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. So all three transcripts for Warden Kane's three-part series are now up, and it's fun to read those things. Right. Even after we do them, I look through them and read them. Right. But some people, believe it or not, before we started doing transcripts, I can't tell you the amount of people that said, I like to read.
Right.
I'm not much on listening. Can you start doing transcripts? So we started those a little while back, and it's been successful for us. People are loving it. So that's one of the tiers on Patreon. You get those free transcripts. But I mean, even if you're just a member that doesn't want to listen to commercials,
right? Yeah,
no big deal. Free. We got a tier for it, and you're supporting what we do and making it make sense.
One of the most important factors is we have a shit ton of bonus episodes locked up in the vault.
Yeah.
Probably the best hardcore episodes we've ever done.
Absolutely.
We're locked up in the vault. So go listen to them. Hey, and if we owe you something or you can't log in or something, let us know. We'll get it taken care of.
Yeah, shoot me a private
those
message.
Those kind of things happen, but not very often. But anyway, thank you all so much. It was love.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
Your host of Bloody
Angola.
A podcast 142 years in the making.
The complete story of America's bloodiest prison.
Peace.
I walk a straight line, shackled and chained. Oh, gruesome Gertie is calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hill String Gang, Rango the Three.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.